Sand's always shifting. Sand is not solid. And Jesus gives a great parable here of a wise man and a fool of how we build our houses. The wise man builds his house on a rock, we're going to read here in a minute. And the fool builds his house on sand. Now, sand represents the system of the world. Sand represents the world system. The rock represents God's system, God's church, God's principles, God's word. Which way are we building our lives? Are we building our house, our lives, on the sand or the worldly system and what it says? Or are we building it upon the rock of what God has said? Because the world's very enticing. I understand that. I'm part of the world too, like everybody else. The world can be enticing. The world can look, you know, sparkly and pretty and beautiful, and it can draw us into places that we don't want to go. And it will if we're not careful, because it just has that pull. But we find out that the pull of the world always leads us to fall flat on our face. The pull of the world always leads us to destruction, to discouragement, to depression. We're never fulfilled and we're never satisfied and we're always hungry, because the world can't fill the appetite that God created us to have filled. Only He can do that. You know, we teach our children certain principles growing up, or I think most parents do. We do that because we know what's best for their future. Now, some parents maybe don't do that. I know we're in a different generation now, and I'm seeing a whole different shift of parenting than, you know, we did 20 years ago. But for the most part, parents still try to teach their kids certain things. You know, don't do this, don't do this, don't do that. That's bad, that's bad. You know, that's the devil, that's the devil, that's the devil. You know, that's the devil. And we try to teach our kids all this stuff. You know why? Because we realize that what the end result of that is. The end result is not good for their life. It's just not good. It may seem good in the moment. It may seem right in the moment. It may seem normal in the moment. Like I said a few weeks ago, I'm glad I'm not a normal parent. I'm glad I'm not a normal earthly human being. I'm glad I'm not normal. I'm glad I'm not a photo-stamped copy of what the world is. I want to be separated and different by the cause of Christ. I want to look a little different. And we should be proud that we're different. We should be proud that we have personal convictions that don't allow us to do certain things or participate in certain things that the world calls normal. We should be thankful for that. So Jesus gives a great example here of how we should build our house. Look what He says in Matthew 7, verse 24. This is the words of Jesus. Therefore, whoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house up on a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not. Why did it not fall? Because it was built upon the rock. What is the rock? God's word. That's the rock. If our house and our lives is truly built on God's word, when the winds come, and they'll come, church, and the storms will come, you don't escape things of the world because you're a Christian. Because you're holy and saved, you don't escape all the attacks. You don't escape all the battles and giants. All that's going to come. Each one of us have our own baggage we're carrying and our own issues we face. But the difference is, if our faith, if our house is built upon what God says, see, faith is so much more than a word of expression. Faith is an active, living thing we express in our actions. Where, you know, you can really tell someone's faith by not what they say, but by what they do, how they live. That's where true faith is tested. How they truly live. What they are behind closed doors, what they are when the storm comes, what they are when the giant stares them down, what rises up in a person when all hell breaks loose. Do we cave in like on sand, or do we say, no, I don't care what giant comes, I don't care what battle rages, I know who I am in Christ, I am the called of God, He is my Lord and King forevermore, through good, through bad, through valleys, through mountains, God is God and He changes not. He's the same God of yesterday, the same God today, and the same God forever. That's who I serve, and that's who I believe in. Our faith has to be more than just saying we believe. It has to be living it. Faith has to be active, that we say, yes, I am what I'm living what I say that I believe in. There's a big difference. We have many not doing that. Faith is the name we hide under. Yeah, I'm a Christian by name. But are we a Christian by life? Are we a Christian by living? When all the storms come, what's our first response? Now, I understand each of us have our phobias, and we have our buttons. You know, one of Melanie's phobias, the biggest phobia of all time in her life, is mice. She does not like a mouse. She would rather have a rattlesnake in this church than a mouse run up this aisle. I can tell you that. You know why? She can outrun a rattlesnake. So, if all of a sudden A dozen mice fell in her lap from that ceiling right there. Let's see where Melanie's faith is at. She'd be saying Jesus so many times that she'd be raptured out of here. I mean, I'm just saying, where is our faith really at? When I was on that ship in the middle of the ocean, I was so disappointed in myself because I was not very strong. I was a big, fat, weak baby. I actually laid in the bed and said, I want my mama. I mean, it was bad. I mean, I thought, Lord, I know you've got this. I mean, the disciples were on a boat, right? And the ship was rocking, the storm was battling, and how many times have I preached them weak, faithless cowards? The first thing I say is, we're dying. We're going down like Charlie Brown. I mean, we are going below, real low. Low as you can go. You know, I mean, we were going down. And you know how your mind plays tricks? We walk out on one of the decks while the ship is stopped. Cruise ships aren't supposed to stop. That's why they call them cruise ships, right? When you put your car on cruise, it's moving. We're stopped. Just stopped. No land in sight. We're just stopped. And the captain's doing some kind of Navy code language. Alpha, alpha, da-da-da-da. We're in trouble. And we're stopped. So we walk out on the deck, and how your mind plays tricks. I said, man, I even told Mel, you remember, I said, we're lower than we were. We're dropping. That ocean was higher than that a while ago. We're dropping. We wasn't dropping. My mind was just magnifying everything, you know. It's like when you catch a fish. I caught a 20-foot bass. You know, it's like that. It's kind of one of them, your mind exaggerates. And I look back and think, how faithless was I? Oh, my gosh. Elevator is my thing. The hotel we stayed at the last couple of nights was on the 10th floor, and yes, most of the time I did take the steps. 10 flights. I don't like elevators. So anyway, I'm sitting there thinking, you know, God, where is my faith? Everybody around, you know, we're in the cafeteria, we're in the dining room when it stops. We're eating dinner, and I see it stop. And the people say, yeah, it stopped, but, you know, no big deal. If they say go to your muster station, then you know you're in trouble. Thank God I didn't say that. I just would have passed out probably. So we're sitting there eating, and I lost my appetite once it stopped. Once I heard the alpha, alpha, da, da, and you know, when the servers are going out the window looking like this, you know you're in trouble, right? So I'm sitting there, I lost my appetite. Not Melly. I want that. It's your dessert. She's eating her dessert while we're stopped. I'm saying, honey, do you think we should call the family, the girl, let them know what's going on in case it's the last time I get to speak to them? I mean, I'm serious. I was there. I'm like, oh, my gosh. And so when I preach this message, I'm preaching to myself as well because I wasn't very faithful on that trip. I was a big coward. You ain't got to agree so much. The next morning, one of the friends we made asked Melanie, how's James doing today? That was bad. Here's the deal. In case you've never been on a cruise, you're in the middle of the ocean. There's nowhere to go. Do you understand that? There's nowhere to go. It's sink or swim. I mean, that's the choice you have. And so, it just was not a good, but, you know, it really taught me to reevaluate. God, I should have trusted you more. You weren't going to let that thing go down. We got kids to still take care of, and we got a church to take care of, and, you know, it wasn't our time. But when that fear hits, when that fear comes, whatever your fear is, when that fear comes, is really the testament in it of, do we believe or do we not believe? And I did believe, and I wanted to believe, and I was trying to believe, and I wasn't, you know, hysterical. I just was very quiet. I shut down. I shut completely down, and I just wasn't comfortable. See, Melanie was the opposite, took everything and made it, she took the opposite. You know, we're in a cabin not sleeping. It had a tropical storm following us. That didn't help none either. No, we're trying to outrun a tropical storm. And so the boat's, you know, rocking the whole night. Like, a, you know what Melanie says? Oh, I like that. Rock me asleep. I'm sitting there picturing, I hope I don't turn over on its side, my face in the water. That's what I'm picturing. But I guess it really can't. Can it tip over on its side? Oh, see? It can. But that thing's just rocking, I mean, all night long. And I didn't like that. I just, you know, For most people in the boat, it didn't bother them because most of them were drunks. They were rocking already. I mean, they're walking like it's already all over the boat. You know, I was sober. I'm like, one guy didn't know it stopped. I'm talking to a guy, but oh, the boat stopped. Yeah, I guess you're still moving. But yeah, the boat stopped. So anyway, going back to all this, it comes down to faith. What's my house built on? Is it really built on, you know, the world or emotions or self, or is it built on what God's word says? And when it really matters is when we need it the very most, is God's word. And Melanie was calm, and I give her kudos for that. She was the calm one. She said that she would have been fine until it started sinking. Then she would have panicked. But other than sinking, she was fine. I wasn't quite as calm. But see, I'm claustrophobic too, so I kind of have that issue. All right. Verse 26. Everyone that heareth these things of mine and doeth them not shall be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and the fall was great. When we build our lives on things of this kingdom and on this world, it will not stand the test of time. But when we anchor our faith in the things of God and on God's word, we'll be surprised what we can stand against. We'll be very surprised what we can fight and what we can face. We'll be very surprised how bad the storm can be, how tall the giant can stand, and us still stand there with our faith saying, you know what? You don't scare me, giant. You can't destroy me, giant. This battle can't overtake me because I know in whom I've placed my faith in. I know whom I believed in. And my God is bigger than whatever battle, whatever storm, whatever fear tries to come into my life. We are seeing a great shift in our generation, as we know, a great morality shift, a great shift of thinking and ideology that's really shifting our nation. And we have more and more that are gravitating toward self, gravitating toward their own needs, their own desires, their own appetites. And we're finding that as people do that, they are hopelessly still lost, and they are hopelessly still confused, they're hopelessly still unhappy. There's no fulfillment, there's no peace, there's no joy. I'm glad I can lay my head down at night, even in my battles and storms and things that come against me, but I have this peace to know that Christ is in me and he is with me. And when I go to bed and close my eyes, he's watching me, he's protecting me, he's watching my home, he's watching my family. When I've done all I can do and get to the end of my rope, then I can trust God has got it from there. When I've done all I can do, God, you've got it. And there's things I can't control, there's things I can't fix, there's things I can't stop, there's things I can't change. But God can do all those things. And if my faith is in God, he is my stopper, he is my changer, he is my protector, he is my deliverer, he is my healer, he is all things that I need in my life. God is that. Because God doesn't change. See, the sands always change. The sands always shift. The sands never in the same place. You know, the sand's always moving, the tide going in and out, bringing more in, less out, you know, back and forth all the time. Sand is never, never the same. But God, our rock, our king, this truth is always the same. This truth is more powerful than any law that the land passes. This truth is more powerful than any mouth that tries to silence. This truth is more powerful than any political correct statement they try to enforce. This truth is more powerful because our God doesn't change. I want to read some verses on that. Look at what Psalms 119. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Forever, God. Forever. Your word's settled. There's no question about it. It's not going to change because the world changes. They can't bully you, God, into changing how you feel about things. And they can't bully you into changing your word to fit their needs and their lifestyle. They can't bully you, God, into saying, oh, I better change that. We're in the 21st century. God's word is settled. He is done. His word is truth. It is final. It's up to us to build our lives on that rock and on that truth and trust God that that's enough for my life no matter what season changes, no matter what comes into my life. God's word is enough to suffice whatever I am battling through death, through sickness, through poverty, through whatever. God, your word is enough to sustain me and help me face whatever comes my way, because your word is settled in heaven. Your kingdom is settled already. My end is already settled. My future is already established. What you've done in the past has already been accomplished. Everything's in place for the fulfillment of the children of God, and no gates of hell can prevail against that. There's nothing that can erase or eradicate or reverse or change or alter what God has already done. It is settled. It is done. It is finished. He's still God. He's still King. He's still Lord. And you can't do a thing to ever change that. Hallelujah. That's good news. Settled in heaven. So that gives me confidence. And it should have given me confidence on the cruise. But it didn't. You know why? Because I didn't dig in God's word. I dug in my fear. And I pictured Gilligan's Island all over again. And I pictured Titanic. And I pictured me and Melanie holding hands and having to let go. And she made it and I didn't. I mean, all this comes into your head. And I definitely was not on the bow of that ship doing like this. No way. I was not Leonardo Gaddafi, whatever his name is. Leonardo DiCaprio. Thank you. I wasn't that dude. Go to the next verse. This is Psalms 90, verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth. Now look at this. Before the mountains were brought forth. How long the mountains been here? Pretty long time. That's why they call it Grandfather Mountain. Before the mountains were brought forth, thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God. You're still God. If I'll just build my house on that truth that you're God, and not on what the world says or their ideology or their philosophy or their way of thinking, and be suckered into that image of the world, but say, God, I'm building my house on your truth. I'm building my marriage on what your word says, raising my kids on what your word says, managing my money as your word says, taking care of my home as your word says, living my personal life as your word says, standing on my convictions of what you've given me through the Holy Spirit and not altering that and not changing that to please nobody, but standing on what I know is right. Church, if we compromise and we cave in on what we believe, we got to kind of question how much we really believed it if we compromise our convictions. If we do things that, you know, we know aren't what God's word says, and we go against that. Faith has to be more than just saying, I believe. Faith has to be doing it. The Bible says, faith without works is dead. If a man comes to your door, the Bible says, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, knocks on your door, he's hungry, says, I need some bread, can you feed me? And you say, well, go away, I'll pray for you. What have we accomplished? Nothing. Faith without works is dead. We must put our faith into action, which means we do it. We exercise it. We walk it out. It's more than lip service. Don't you get tired? I mean, everybody's got lip service. But how many have real service to where you know they're doing what they say? We all mess up, church. I mean, we all, you know, don't always live what we say. I understand that. You know, we all gossip. We all talk about somebody. We all have wrong thoughts. All of us have our issues. But I'm saying as a whole, when it comes down to it, faith's got to be more than just saying, yeah, I believe. Faith has to be using it when you need it. Faith has to be that, you know, when your child is sick, and we've done this many times over the years, we went and laid our hands in our kids' heads in the bed and prayed for them. We have felt our kids' fevers break under our hands as we prayed for them. You know, we had our son, when he was a little boy, had a breathing attack one night, could not breathe. And we debated whether to try to take him to the hospital, and it was so bad, we thought, we may not have time. We just laid our hands again to pray for him right there. And his breathing completely regulated, and he fell asleep as we were praying for him. And we rebuked that from ever happening again. As far as I know, he's never had that again, ever in his life, attack him. I don't know whether it was an asthma attack trying to take a hold of him, whether it was a panic attack, whether it was what it was, but he never had it again that we knew of. That's putting faith into action. When you pray over things, you're putting your faith into action. When you trust God when it looks impossible, you're putting your faith into action. When you look like a Noah, like the world thought Noah was an idiot, he's out building this boat, being made fun of, being laughed at, all these years he spent building what God told him, who had the last laugh, so to speak? You know, the one that listened to God. Our faith has to be used. What if David had stood before Goliath and said, Yep, I believe I can beat him. Yep, I got faith. I think I can beat him. Yep. And just stood there. I mean, really? He'd have been like, you going to draw? Or what are we doing here? But he used his faith in front of everybody. Oh, he took himself out of the way. He didn't say, hey, Adrian, I'm Rocky Balboa, and I'm going to whoop you, man. I'm the Eye of the Tiger, dude. He walked up, took self out of the way. It says, Goliath, I don't come to you how you come. I'm not going to dress up like you, wear what you've got, use the same weapons you have. I come to you in one way only. I'm going to attack you in the name of my Lord. That's all. Just the name of my Lord. And he slung that little stone, and it knocked him flat on his back and killed him. The name of the Lord did that. David exercised his faith. Hebrew children exercised their faith. King said, I'm going to throw you in the furnace if you don't change. I'm not careful to answer you, King. I don't care what you do. We're not changing. We're not going to bow to your thing because we know what we believe. We know what we serve. See, when you truly get something that you know, there can't nobody take that away from you. They can burn your Bibles. They can burn down the churches. They can tell you can't speak in public or you'll be arrested. But they can never, ever take out the truth that God has revealed to you. That you know, you'll take it to the grave if you have to. It's truth. And I'll never change. Because God has shown it to me. Faith is exercising it. Faith is using it. Faith is when it gets tough. You talk to God and you show up your faith. Say, here's what I believe, and I'm putting my belief into action by using it. More than lip service, but actually applying it. Go to the next verse. Malachi 3:6. I am the Lord, I change not. I'm the Lord. Understand, I'm still the same God that led the children out of Israel. I'm the same God as with Daniel in the lion's den. I'm the same God with David. I was the same God with Samson. I was the same God with Ruth and Naomi. I'm the same God that had Peter walk on the water. I'm the same God that fed the 5,000. The same God that raised Lazarus. The same God that healed the blind, the deaf, and the crippled. The same God that did all of those things. I'm the same God that raised out of the tomb. And my resurrection power has not diminished or decreased in 2,000 years. I'm as potent and as powerful and as real as I ever was. I don't change. I was king then. I'm king now. I was Lord then. And I'm Lord now. I'm above all then. And I'm still above all now. I'm still God. And I don't change. And if I don't change, by George, my word don't change because we're the same. We're one and the same. For the word was made flesh. For the word was with God and the word was God. The word was with God. The word was God. So what God is and what God says is his word and that doesn't change. And if his word says one thing, it doesn't change because the world changes. And it doesn't change because we can translate it out of the Bible. It doesn't change because we find a version that fits our lifestyle. And we twist it around so much to make it fit in our little world. Whatever God says remains steadfast, and it remains truth. And all the lies of the devil can't change the truth God's already settled, and God's already said. What are we building our house on? Are we building it on sand that's always shifting and changing, or are we building it upon the rock, the revelation of who Jesus is? See, the rock wasn't Peter he's talking about in that verse where it says, I'll build my church upon this rock. It had nothing to do with Peter. He was talking about the revelation that Peter had. The rock was being built on that revelation. You are the Christ. You are the risen one. You are the King. You are the Messiah. You are the one. On this revelation will I build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Understand, Jesus can never be put back in the tomb. Do you hear me? He can't ever be put back in the grave. He is risen forevermore. He is resurrected, and all the demons and legions of darkness cannot change or alter at all what Christ has already done. The kingdom's already been established. He is risen and ascended. And now we have a place prepared for us, for all of God's people, that no dark force can keep us away from, because God has already settled it. He says, you are mine. You're justified. You're sanctified. You're glorified. You're mine. I've called you out of darkness into the kingdom of the dear Son. I've translated you from darkness into light. It's already happened, church. We're part of God's kingdom now. And the devil can't do anything about that. So what does he do? He brings storms to rattle us. He brings fears. He brings frustrations. He brings disappointments. Try to get us to get our mind off the things of God and back on the sand. And man, we know. I mean, it'd be pretty foolish to build a house on the beach, wouldn't it? I mean, on the beach, right there on the flat sand, build a house where the waves come in. That's just stupidity. You know why beach houses are built up on sticks and upon, you know, so the water when it runs in doesn't flood the house. They build it above the tide. They build it above. They build it where it's, you know, God's protection. If we build our lives upon the rock, we're protected by God. We're protected. We're sealed. It doesn't mean we're not going to have problems, but it does mean this, that we can face the problems. Because God in us, greater is He in us than that was in the world. Greater is our God. Go to the next verse, Jeremy. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. This means God doesn't change. All gifts, good gifts, are from above, from our Heavenly Father, and He doesn't change. The same God that maybe healed you 20 years ago is still the same God. He's still Dr. Jesus. Once a doctor, always a doctor, right? The Marines ain't the only one that can say that. Once a doctor, always a doctor. Whether you're retired, whatever. Once Jesus became king, He's going to always be king. And if He healed you 20 years ago, guess what? He can heal you again today. He delivered you 20 years ago, delivered you today. He's not lost His healing, miraculous, moving power. But we have to have our houses built upon that truth and realize, I don't care what the world says. I know God is bigger and stronger and greater than anything else I face. And in the storm, God can pull me through. In my battle, God can give me victory. In my battle, God stands up for me, and God even fights for me if we'll let Him. Our faith is truly tested when storms come. Our faith is truly tested when situations change. How do we respond to tragedy? How do we respond to divorce? How do we respond to death? How do we respond to cancer? How do we respond to losing a job? How do we respond, you know, to all these things that happen? What's our response? Is it built up on a rock of truth? Says, okay, God, I need you. God, I need you. I need you to speak to me. I need you to help me. I need you to strengthen me because I can't face it. I can't keep going one more day. I can't do this on my own. I love where Paul says, when I am weak, then I become strong. Oh, I love that. When I am weak, then am I strong. See, we can't be strong until we're weak. Because if our strength from us, that's not very much. Because our strength wears out really, really quick. But if our strength is in God, endless strength. Church, God has endless strength. There is no weakness in God. There is no end of God. There is no weakness at all in God. There's strength in Him. His strength becomes our strength. He infuses us with His Holy Spirit to help us and equip us to face every single day. Last verse, Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same. How are we building our house? Church, we see lives. As a pastor, I see many lives. I see many things, and social media has changed a lot of what we see now. And I see patterns of people's lives. I get phone calls. I get all, you know, people that, and I see patterns of lives. What are we building our house on? Anytime we get off the rock, or on the sand. It's nice to be on solid rock. When we poured it back into Charleston, I fell to my knees and kissed the ground. We're back on solid rock. Melanie one time said, and we stopped, says, well, you just, if you believe enough in God, you just walk across that water. I said, well, I'm not Peter. Not Peter. I have a lot more respect for Peter than I did. A lot more than I did. It's not like a great story until you're out there and you're like, oh my gosh. Yeah, he really did that. Wow. How are we building our house, church? If we build our house on the worldly system and on the things of the world, we find out it does not stand. Because when storms come, if we don't have the foundation of God's word, you know, me and Mel have been married 23 years, and there's been a rough time in our marriages, rough spots. You know, we don't always get along. Ask Taylor. We don't always get along. We can fuss, and we can, you know, she can do that, and I can do that back, and then we just go silent for a while. I mean, that happens. But what's anchored our marriage is our faith in God. To where we're like, our marriage is covered by the grace of God. It all goes back to that anchor of what keeps marriages successful is sharing your faith together in Christ. It's not a miracle cure that fixes every argument and every problem, but it does keep you anchored together. Because if we don't have that anchor, church, we just, remember what the Bible says, that don't be like the waves, the sea, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Just tossed to and fro. Here, I believe that, I believe that, I believe that. Hey, that sounds good. Hey, Google said that. That sounds good. She said that, he said that. And we're just bounce, 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 just staying planted on the rock. Just stay put. I know some of us are ADD and it's hard. Stay put in one place, one spot, and let God grow you from that spot. Let God develop you from that rock. Don't let the world come in and chip out what God's trying to do in your life. We can take 3 steps forward in God and the world knock us back 5 steps. Then we take 2 more steps, the world knocks us back 3 more steps. Stay grounded. Grounded. That's the key, grounded on the word of God. Building your house the right way. This is our house, our life. And what will it produce? Faith or fear? Blessings or cursings? What will we produce? Stay grounded and let God do the work in your life. Too many houses being built on sand. Too many lives shifting, being blown away because there's no foundation. The one thing about building a structure, the most important part is the foundation. It's the most boring part. No bells and whistles on the foundation. Piece of slab. Ooh, that's pretty. We like the walls and the brick and the roof lines and the cuts and the windows and the doors, all the bells and whistles. The foundation, though, is the most important part. If they don't get the foundation right, the whole structure's not right. Aren't you glad our church ain't crooked? Y'all ain't sitting sideways like this, leaned over? The foundation's right. The roof stays because the foundation is right. This back corner, this foundation right here, it took them several tries to get it to pass code. They had to keep pounding it and pounding it and getting it level, getting it right before it would pass the PSI load. This one corner kept getting us issues. But we couldn't go any further that was right. Not a pretty part, but the most important part. And then what happened from the foundation, everything comes from the foundation. The framing, and that's the fun part, right, Melanie? Seeing the framing, that was so exciting. Seeing the walls go up. Oh, you know, we're going somewhere now. Then the roof. Oh, we're getting the roof on. Oh, my gosh, we got a roof. That's so awesome. Then the blue carpet. Oh, we got carpet. Pretty. Take my shoes off. Oh, soft carpet. We spent a lot of time over here during that process, let you know. And so all that was happening. You know, putting the window. Oh, we got the windows in. All the windows. All the doors. All of the doors. Oh, we got the toilet sinks in. How exciting. Never been so excited to see toilets and sinks go in. Oh, wow, it's awesome. The lighting, you know, all the stuff. But before anything could happen, the foundation had to be laid. Before we can grow in God or grow in life, the foundation has to be right. I've done a lot of counseling with married couples that are married or getting married. or not married anymore. Three different stages. And when I talk to couples that's getting married, we always talk about that. The foundation's got to be right. You got to start out on the right foundation. You got to start out with your faith in Christ, your love for each other, doing things the right way. Because, see, when you start out with the wrong foundation, the house just won't stand. Not for long. It may stand for a while, but it won't always stand. Foundation's important. Build your house on the rock of God. Because God doesn't change, church. And He loves you, and He's for you. Trust Him. Believe in Him. And let Him have your life. Like He touched that little girl and saved her life. And now she has a foundation. The right foundation. Say, you know what? I've got the foundation. Now, God, start building me. Start growing me. But we got to stay put. We got to stay where we're at. Every seed that is sown is making a difference in your kingdom, God. We are sowing to an eternal kingdom, a kingdom we can't see clearly yet, but a kingdom that is real and a kingdom that is will never die. Thank you, Jesus, for every hand that gives. Thank you so much for the support that we receive, and I pray that you bless those hands that do so and let them see, God, that you will take care of them as they give of their substance unto the work of God. Bless every heart in here, Lord. Let us leave here with a changed perspective of what is our house built on. Is our faith really being applied when it matters the most? Or are we letting fear set in? Let faith, God, reign. Let faith be the dominant thing we have when storms come. We ask your blessing on each heart here today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Upon on his shoulders. Ooh, ooh. And I know my sister that he will carry you. Yes, I know my brothers and I know my sisters that he's gonna carry. Oh, yes, he will. He's gonna carry you.
Amen. Now stand to your feet. Amen. He will carry you, church. Let God carry. It's a lot easier. Oh, my God. Maybe as a kid, you want a mama to carry everywhere? Oh, just let God carry you. It's so much easier. You want prayer, Beulah?